momentum, and when it says dark cell on, means prostrate, so then the teacher prostrates, you prostrate, and then everybody sits down at the same time. So it takes care of a lot of things. It takes care of the mind, putting it in the right direction. It takes care of making two prostrations before you do the practice. So it's quite wonderful. Also singing, it's very good for the subtle energy body, like the channels and the winds, the energies in the channel. You should sing more. It really makes the mind happy, makes the mind much more spacious. This is why songs are so popular. So if you can sing something that is meaningful on top of it, it's really great. Okay. So then, for those who were not here last night, what we're doing, each session we meditate like 45 minutes. So we do 15 minutes shamatha. I said I'm not going to say too much, I'm not going to say anything, because everybody who is here has their meditation practice. So you do whatever you know, like in terms of either mindfulness or shamatha. So you do whatever you're used to. You use you take your object. I think, you know, your mother would say you're big enough now to know what you are supposed to do, so you have been practicing long enough. Many of you go to the group in Tel Aviv every Monday, so there again you get it told again and again and again and again. So preliminary as a preparation, you go to page 3. So I leave you a little bit of time to put up the visualization. Not in the book, in the prayer book. Books we don't need. Make any notes. Just let the mind be really free and just try to, you know, you don't need to grasp like this whatever you hear. You don't need to remember even. We only have to put it in the mind and then it will start working. You have to become, the more relaxed you are in the meditation, the more it will take root. You know, if we go like, I need to understand this, and what exactly are the points? Just repeat, you know, this is the whole thing. It's repetition, 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 and then just add on. Okay. So, visualize Shakyamuni Buddha's face in front of you, around him as we did last night. Try to see how much do you remember of all this. That would be the complete refuge tree, what we did last night. It's very elaborate. And again, you know, it can drive you crazy having to remember all these things. I do know. But the other thing is, if you want to develop concentration, if you have to remember all these things, there is no space to go somewhere else with the mind. So it's very skillful again. The problem is our minds are very full already, so then when you have to visualize a full refuge tree, it's maybe not so skillful for us. By all the lineage lamas of the profound view, the extensive deeds, the tantric practices, your gurus in their ordinary form, sitting in front of Shakyamuni Buddha, and then in rows, the tantric deities, the Buddhas, the thousand Buddhas of this eon, the Shavakas, the Dakas and the Dakinis and the Dharma protectors, and the four great kings in the four nations. You can either visualize all of them separately or Shakyamuni Buddha as a manifestation of all these other four. Have a guru, don't forget your guru is Shakyamuni Buddha. Shakyamuni Buddha is your guru. We only have the karma to see the guru in his ordinary form, because we can't see the rainbow body. We don't have the right karma. That's why they manifest in ordinary bodies. Sang before we sat down. I prostrate, make offerings and go for refuge. Please grant me your blessings. Try to have your heart completely open to ask for these blessings. Then by becoming aware why we are here, why we're practicing this, in order to be just of benefit to others, in order to learn never ever to harm them, in order order to transform the mind, to eliminate the negative emotions that make us and others suffer. That's the purpose. So please grant me blessings that this path that we're about to practice becomes my mind. My mind becomes the Dharma. Side, your mom's at your left side, and around you are all universal mother sentient beings, each in human form, but each undergoing the specific suffering of his or her specific will. And you can include Bardo beings, you can even think of the beings in the form and formless realms if you know. Innumerable mother sentient beings. The people that you know personally, the ones you don't like, or the ones who don't like you, you put in front, the ones you are attached to, you put in front. And then the main thing, you have these two factors for taking refuge. Faith and trust in your own ability to attain full awakening, and the faith and trust that this path is going to get you there. We need to feel that yearning that we have to be good, meaning to be well, meaning not to be unhappy, not to be tense, not to be anxious, not to have resentment, not to feel guilt. Feel that yearning, our Buddha nature calling out, hey, you could be in a much better way. And we do wish it. The wish is definitely there. To be free. To be spacious. To be authentic. To be loving, kind, and wise. Prince Siddhartha must have followed that call that he had, just like everybody else has. My mind is in the right state. We hear it. And then we can follow it. We can leave behind what doesn't give us what we want, meaning lasting happiness and well-being. So we followed that call and attained the goal. Teachings are still present in this universe, quite precise, not even that difficult to understand. We just have to follow the instructions. So there's a factor of appreciation, there's a factor of humility, knowing that we can't do this alone. Is a factor of purpose. Why do I want to do this? Not for myself, but in order to benefit all mother sentient beings, because that wish, that thought, that attitude will give me the freedom of mind, the freedom from self-cherishing. In order to be able to do that, I need to attain enlightenment. We can do it in Tibetan, just the English is a little bit strange. Sanye Chodan Soki Chonam La Chanchu Badu Dani Kapsu Chi Dagi Chin Saki Pesanangi Chola Penchi Sanye Chupasho Sanye Chodan Soki Chonam La Chanchu Badu Dani Kapsu Chi tagi chinsa ki pesanangi chola penchi sangye chupasho. Sangye chodan soki chonam la chanchu badu dani kyapsuchi. Tagi chinsa ki pesanangi chola penchi sangye chupasho. Then you go to page 6. To open the heart, to give purpose to our practice. It's not just a wish for all beings to be happy, it's also being engaged by thinking, may I bring all this about, or at least may I be able to contribute to these goals, so that may all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings never be separated from happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from desire for friends and hatred for enemies. Then the seven limbs, a very powerful practice if your mind is really there. Because what you do, you purify negativities and you accumulate virtues. If we don't have virtues, if we don't have positive potential, there's no way our mind will transform. It will be too difficult, and then slowly, slowly, we give up. That's why we do these seven branches, seven branch practice. It's not really a prayer, it's a practice. Reverently, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present every type of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative actions accumulated since beginning this time, and rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings. These remain until the end of cyclic existence and turn the wheel of Dharma for living beings. I dedicate my own merits and those of all others to good enlightenment. Next page, page 8 and 9. The outer mandala is a kind of manifestation of our the result of our practice. Like we visualize a pure land, because when we are fully awakened, we can then manifest a pure land. Actually, it's not that we can, we will spontaneously, because fully awakened being always comes with an entourage and with a pure land. That's on page 8. And we do this in order with the wish for everybody to be able to enjoy that pure land. So we transform the suffering universe that we are in into this pure land. And then page 9, we offer or give away and offer everything that is preventing us from being able to manifest the pure land. This ground anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this is a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. The object of my attachment, aversion and ignorance, friends, enemies, strangers, my body, wealth and enjoyments, without any sense of loss, I offer this collection. Please accept it with pleasure and bless me with freedom from the three poisons. Nidam guru ranamandalakam niryatayami. Okay. Then we again ask for blessings. And here, when we do that verse, it's page 10. Stay there. And we can think of the first verse of the foundation of all the qualities, which is just listen and try to kind of get that into your mind. The foundation of all good qualities is the kind and perfect true guru. Correct devotion to him is the root of the path. By clearly seeing this and applying great effort, please bless me to rely upon him or her with great respect. So, before we visualize Shakyamuni Buddha, how was your mind when you visualized Shakyamuni Buddha? Are there any, is there any movement? Do you feel elated, happy, open-hearted, inspired? Or does it need a lot of effort for the mind to go into that state? can again recall Shakyamuni Buddha, the face in front of you, what happens in your heart? Pretty much nothing, isn't it? Because that seems like a fantasy. Who knows whether he existed or not? Yeah, the teachings are great, but who is this Buddha? No idea. No connection. Whenever we have a connection with somebody, the mind goes into a certain state. Now, I don't know if you have a guru, but if you have, think about this person and then check him. Is it the same? Is it as cold and uninterested and remote and sleepy? Or does it wake up? Is happy, inspired? Actually wanting to please the guru, not so for the guru to love you, because you know that this guru will always love you. They always want you best. They might give us things to do that we don't like. That is true. They're not like ordinary friends. They help us stretch our borders. They help us accomplish the deeds that we ourselves, we would never choose wanting to accomplish them, because we would think they're too difficult. If the guru asks you, it gives you enough confidence to try. And then all of a sudden we see, wow, I can do this. The foundation of all good qualities is the kind and venerable guru. Check your heart when you think about your guru. If you don't have a guru, just think about the first person who taught you how to meditate, who gives you instructions. How do you feel thinking about this person? Where would you be without the person? Direct devotion to him is the root of the path. Why? Because if we don't put these instructions into practice, there is no path. And in order to do something unpleasant, we need to have devotion and faith and trust. So you can think that even you haven't met your guru yet, that Shakyamuni Buddha is your guru. Now, if you have a guru in human form, then again, we should think that's just a disguise so that we can see them, because otherwise there's no connection. Try to see the difference again when you ask for blessings from your guru, or just from the visualization of Shakyamuni Buddha. So this is page 10. Glorious and precious Guru, sit upon the lotus and moon seat on my crown, guiding me with your great kindness, bestow upon me the attainment of your body, speech and mind. So whenever you do meditation, actually, it's quite good to feel the Guru on your crown, protecting you, guiding you, calming you down when you're very agitated. So whenever you think you can't concentrate, the mind naturally goes up to that image on your crown, Shakyamuni Buddha sitting there, blessing you, supporting you, helping you. And so very, again, very powerful tool. And throughout the meditation, you think that the Guru is there to help me, to inspire me, to calm me down, and to open my heart. And then you will start to shine the meditation. So we'll do about 10 minutes. That's quite short, so don't waste the time by planning tomorrow or next week. By effort. Choose an object, choose a method, you know, many methods, maybe too many, but just stick to one and just do it. Notice that the sound is just a sound. You didn't hear it before. It didn't upset you before, so it doesn't have to upset you now. Just let go. Use it as a tool to be able to relax even with the sound. Maybe try to see the instinct wanting to go and switch it off because you're warm enough. Don't follow that instinct. Thank you. did, the importance of the guru on the path. But definitely if you do have a wish to attain full awakening, just with books is impossible. Because there's so many things to be practiced, how would you know what is best for you? But before we start with these reflections, we have to become quite clear. Just leave all the guilt at home. Don't take it. It's not home. But I see with Westerners, very often they're so heavy. They're so serious. They don't know how to be relaxed in this path, because for us, relaxed means lazy. That's not. Relaxed means being able to make a lot of effort, but if we don't succeed, we don't stop, because we know it will last a long time. And we have too much arrogance, thinking that, but I'm intelligent, I can do that immediately. Thinking that we have to succeed. And on top of it, we have a mind that has been trained to look for pleasure because we're so spoiled. So we only want to do the practices that feel pleasant. And we said yesterday when we meditated on the six attitudes, we as the patient, the doctor, the Dharma, the medicine. You know, this is like a patient who goes and sees a doctor and says, but please, the cure should be pleasant. And the medicine should be sweet, otherwise I'm not taking it. If I don't like it, I will not take it. Again, this is such a good example. When we are sick, when we understand that we are sick and we have a wish to become healthy, we can swallow the most disgusting things without any aversion, without any problems, and we can bear hardships. You think in terms of chemotherapy. You think your spiritual life is hard. There's nothing compared to chemotherapy. Nothing. We expect it to be easy, and then it becomes heavy. Let go, whether it should be pleasant or not. The more you're able to let go and you still do it, the more pleasant it becomes. Because the more relaxed your mind, the easier it is for the joy to come out. We can only be joyful when we have what we want. Then there's a lot of attachment in our place. So don't, whenever you feel guilt coming up, just put it aside. It has no point, there's no use for guilt. Check the state of your mind. How do you feel? No need to make too many words, but to experience it. This is what the reflections are about, to experience something without needing more words. How do you feel? I wouldn't say this now. Would you have felt it before? Or do you feel it now? Meaning, do you feel privileged? And how does that feel, feeling privileged? Privilege at the moment of being free. and all the factors that would hinder or prevent your spiritual path. And we have all the qualities that we need, all the privileges that we need to be able to practice. As long as we don't feel it. We don't feel how rare that is, how difficult to come about, and how easy it can be destroyed. This is why we have to go again and again and again and again to all the points of what we have to be free from and what we need in order to practice. So we just go through them, and with each one where you think is, how would it be if I would not be free from that? So how would it be if you would have been born as a hell being? If you can't relate to hell beings, then there's hell on earth. The emotion that prevails in the hells is aggression and paranoia, fear, anxiety, and aggression, hatred. Burns like fire or is ice cold. The mind very destructive like fire or freezes and can't move. How would it be to have a mind that is full of paranoia, doesn't trust anybody, or a mind that finds great pleasure in harming others? Or having a body that is filled with excruciating pain 24 hours a day? Or having to live in a place where it's incredibly hot or incredibly cold? Be very realistic. How would that feel? Would you be able to practice? Then the joy, look at your present situation, at least for the moment, and feel free. How would it be if you would have been born as a hungry ghost? Maybe do the reflection yourself. Imagine. Not enough to eat, not enough to drink. Ever. How would that be? How would that feel? What kind of life would you have? Somalia. See any of them sitting down and meditating, trying to develop good heart and some wisdom? No energy, no interest, a constant search for food to stay alive. And we have free access to food. Is that not wonderful? And a reason to rejoice. would it be if you would have been born as an animal? So just imagine the animal that you would not want to be. And imagine the life of that animal. Don't go into eagles and dolphins. Go to the other extreme. How would it be if I would have the body of an animal that I definitely don't want to be? Use your imagination. And then the joy of being free from that. How would it be if we were born as a non-living dog? Being very famous, very beautiful, very successful, having lots of pleasures. The whole world kind of lying at our feet, doing what we want them to do. Very powerful. No need for transforming anything. How would that be? And look what the mind does. There is some attraction. No problems in this life. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But what would happen? Would you want to practice? Or would you just want to do it? These are the four states where you don't want to be born. The other things are we have to be free from in our mind state. Wrong views of not believing in law of cause and effect, people. Or a view that is impossible to attain from waking. Makes it impossible to practice this way. Being somewhere where there is no spiritual teachings or having no interest in it. And having limited mental capacities. Or being in a place where it's dangerous to do spiritual practices. We are so fortunate to have this place here. Of interest in the Dharma is so rare and it's so precious. So then the Ten Endowments. Being born human. If you're not human, you can't practice this path. In the central land with at least four fully ordained monks who can give vows and to upkeep the teachings. Or even though maybe you don't have four fully ordained monks in Israel, but they do come here. The world has become very small here. To have our sense organs intact. Can you imagine a life being blind, deaf, paralyzed, not being able to speak? This senses are so fragile. But they still work. So that's great. So we need to have a mind that is not only interested in doing activities like perverse. There are people like this, finding pleasure in killing, raping, stealing, cheating. Their mind goes in that direction, trying to find happiness in these terrible acts. Could be us. It's through certain causes and conditions that they became like that. You cannot sit and meditate. It's too much guilt for you, because even these people, when the mind starts to calm down, they start to understand what they're doing as negative, as painful. Then we need to have faith in the teachings and in our own ability to attain the goal. Awakening. Do we have that? Can you really see yourself as a Buddha? Or is that just like you visualize sometimes? But then it's kind of, yeah, it's just fantasy. How much faith do you have to attain that goal? Full awakening. Can you imagine what that means? When you hear the word Buddha potential or Buddha nature, do you relate it to yourself or just to the Dalai Lama or Geshe Pema Dorje or Chöden Rinpoche or Gajin Rinpoche or any other Rinpoche? What happens in your heart when you go, hey, I have Buddha nature, this is my element? Samsara is not my element. It is a mistake. Free from suffering, that is my element. Love, compassion, wisdom. This is my element. Not samsara. Does that inspire you? And also we need to have a sangha, people who practice with us. We need to have teachers who can show the path. We need to have a place where we can practice. And we need other people to support us, people in general who are kind-hearted. We all have it, still. Not sure for how long. And so many conditions, causes, positive potential for this, all this to come about. They say, you know, precious human rebirth, like a flash of lightning in the dark night. So short. So rare. So precious. We don't know where we were in our last life. In one of the lower states. We don't know where we're going. Maybe to one of the lower states. now you have the opportunity to prevent today, this morning, this hour, this minute, this second. With your motivation, with your mind training, with your practicing patience. Isn't that wonderful? Are we living in a way so that we don't have anything to regret at the time? Do we feel like the prisoner who has escaped from prison? Not knowing whether he will be caught again, but at the moment realizes, hey, I'm out. Then what do we do at this time? Well, we're out of the prison of lower states. Completely full with our self-centeredness, creating more causes for more suffering. Or do we have at least joy that we have that situation? So many choices we can make, sometimes too many. We're free from our mistakes, just for now. This human rebirth is very fragile. We're not aware of it. Did you have any awareness today that you're going to die? Before I said that. Do we take that even into consideration? And do we take into consideration that we could go to a lower state? We take it for granted that we will have more opportunities to practice the Dharma in future lives. Can't we be so sure? Are you afraid of death? Losing all these privileges? It would be good if we are. Then we take care of this precious human rebirth, use it for the right things. Instead of moaning all the time, we don't have what we want. To take whatever we have and turn it into the Dharma. There is no such thing as daily life and spiritual practice as separate. Everything can become Dharma. Your negative emotions, your ego, your self-centeredness. I will just leave you for a little while, and you imagine your own death. How do you think you are going to die? You know what to do with the mind, where to put it, what to think. Do you know where you want to go? Just imagine your own death. What comes up? Is that realistic? Or a little bit far-fetched? taking refuge in the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha? Is your mind thinking about the Buddha? Is your mind thinking, no matter where I'm reborn, what may I be of benefit to others? May I be able to continue this path to attain full awakening? Is your mind thinking, wow, I had such a wonderful life? May I be able to repay the kindness that I have received in this life by leading people to enlightenment? Is that what we're thinking? Or are we just completely confused, not knowing where to put the mind, and just letting it roam freely as it usually does? Are you really not afraid to see your friends and relatives anymore? Are you really not afraid to lose this body that we have become so used to? Lose our identity, this I that is not just a construct of thoughts? Do you really have no attachment to all your possessions, even if it's Buddha statues or temples or whatever? Are you really not afraid having to start from scratch on your next? Session we will dedicate. So again, not just words, mind states, okay? By the virtue of having sat and meditated like this meditation, but all the previous meditation in all previous lives, all the positive potential that I have created, may become the cause to be able to lead all sentient beings out of samsara into a state of peerless happiness. May the precious body mind that has not yet fallen arise. May that which has been born not incline, but increase. May I in all my lives meet with perfect Mayan teachers. May I be inspired by the Dharma. May I be able to practice until full awakening. Thank you from the bottom of your heart. May all these precious beings who are still around, who have transformed the Dharma into their minds, who are living the Dharma, may they have long and stable lives. And whatever I do, may it only